everything you see is real?
No, I don't believe that. In fact, I think that's one of the most important things about science, is that you shouldn't trust your intuition on every single thing.
So your eyes perceive the world as it is, and you think this is what the reality is.
I literally just said no, not in all cases.
Okay. So you say evolution is a fact.
Yep.
That we come from monkeys. So where do the monkeys come from? From the amoeba or the little microorganisms or cells? Is that what you're trying to say?
Sure. Why not go with that? Life has progressed through changes over our planet's long history.
I think we are blessed enough to be able to learn or decode the DNA these days, and they've come to a conclusion certain DNAs perceive the world differently to other DNAs.
Okay.
So your DNA, yes. So
what's that? What's that an argument for?
So the argument is, how did one monkey walk in a straight line and become a human? Did it go 1,000 different ways, 100,000 different ways, or was it just like a designed path? A monkey had to just walk on that path or become
a caveman? Well, there's no teleology.
Okay, so you reckon...
There's no teleology, but what does and does not work in the environment is selected for. It's called natural selection.
Well, every information that you have inside your brain right now is not yours.
Oh.
Is it? I'm just...
So I know that I'm hungry, but that's not my information.
No, that's not the information I'm talking about. Every information you have regarding... So you're hungry. Okay, let's say that. You're hungry, you want to eat food. Did someone tell you that this is food and you have to eat that?
No, it's an evolved instinct.
So you figured it out?
It's an evolved instinct?
No, but I mean, so who was the first person who figured it out? A monkey.
It's been figured out since before we existed, or since before primates even existed.
I don't say there is a Santa Claus sitting up there, but I think this is all a dream.
Okay, then there's no point in having a conversation about anything.
Good luck with them reeling all the fishies.
What?
I say good luck with all the clickbaits.
What? I was criticizing your point of view, not mine. And then he left. Have I just gotten too good at debating that people just leave? Am I going to have to start playing dumb?
Why do you guys believe in this nonsense of evolution?
Evidence.
Data.
Evidence and data.
Evidence observations. And data, yeah. The logic of it is pretty solid, too.
Don't you think it's highly unlikely that the diversity of life that we see today came about by random mutations and natural selection?
No, because like we know that those things happen. But, I mean, if you're going to say, well, the reason I think evolution is false is because it's too unlikely to have happened, then you need to give me an alternative explanation that has better odds, but the God hypothesis is completely unknowable, so it can't be preferred.
Not to mention, Jamal, like your entire statement right there is simply personal incredulity. You're saying that, because it seems highly unlikely, therefore it's likely not true, but you're not giving us a good reason for it. You're just saying it.
So what about the intelligent design hypothesis?
Well, that's the God hypothesis. I mean, what evidence? Of intelligent design do you have?
Yeah, there's like irreducible complexity. That's an element of the intelligent design hypothesis.
I mean, I find irreducible complexity to basically be an argument from incredulity. And kind of an argument from ignorance at the same time. But there are, I don't have them memorized. I've heard people talk about them, but we've witnessed irreducibly complex systems within living things evolve. Like we've literally seen it happen in the lab before. So evolution can produce irreducibly complex like systems within living things.
Yeah, also, by the way, Jamal, can you give us an example of something that is irreducibly complex?
Yeah, sure. I could give you one example. Give me a second. Let me... It's been a while since I've gone through this. I think Michael Behe gave some examples.
Which all failed in court.
Yeah, I mean, there literally was a trial on this.
I mean, okay.
Okay, yeah, so by a Bush conservative Christian judge who saw the evidence and ruled in favor of evolution.
Yeah, George W. Bush appointed.
I found his paper here. Sure. On the bacteria flagellum.
Sure.
Talks about, he wrote about how it has like a little motor.
Yep.
And it, when one of those pieces are missing, it ceases to function, and there's no way that can come about through like natural selection or mutation.
Let me see if I can find something in here. So here's why. So here's an example of how that, like, the flagellum obviously isn't irreducibly complex. So there is a study from, I can get you the title of it if you want, but scientists removed 1/3 of the nearly 500 amino acids that make up the flagella of E. coli, and the organism still had a functional flagellum. So it's just flat out not irreducibly complex. The title of that is Construction of a Minimum Size Functional Flagellum in E. coli.
Also, Jamal, your mic is making a lot of weird noises.
It's bad.
Okay, all right. I'll just leave. I kind of get annoying. Y'all have a good night.
Like, are you asking how could life possibly go from a type of life that replicates itself to a type of life where cells fuse, sexual reproduction?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I have an answer for you with regard to that. I can't really think of any like natural analogs or anything. Basically, you'd have to just explain how did like haploid cells come about. If I had to guess, I would guess that it probably originated through basically like not exactly parthenogenesis, but you know, from an organism that accomplished all of that within itself. So an organism that didn't really have sex or like a biological sex, I mean, but still like produced cells that fused for whatever reason. Now we do know that like the recombination you get from that leads to a lot of genetic diversity. And so it's very advantageous in that way. It takes a lot of energy, but it has the potential to exploit brand new niches. But it doesn't seem unreasonable to me to think that that could have started with, you know, a single organism producing that, and then eventually like real biological sexes develop. So I don't know. I don't have a very good answer for you on that, I guess. It's a really good question,
I've just
though.
Been like, you know, kind of scouring the internet for any kind of explanation, evolutionary explanation for it. I can't find anything really, you know, an explanation, I guess. And I've always wondered that, you know. And I mean, I have a lot of questions of how a flightless animal develops a wing aerodynamic enough to actually fly without any kind of, you know, I would think that there would have to be a type of, you know, knowledge there to, for these things to develop, you know. The aerodynamics of it are very complex.
Right. Well,
and it doesn't seem possible. I mean, when the evolution starts changing to something that can even just like sort of glide.
TikTok sound I sent you.
At some point, it's useless, completely useless, and it doesn't ever, you know, how could it help the animal to survive more than its peers? Or how does something that minute not get bred back into the population of the other animals, you know?
Sure. I mean, I can give you a couple of answers. I'm going to mute you while I talk about it. You can unmute yourself whenever you want. It's just that there is a lot of background noise. But so there's a few different things with regard to this. I mean, for flight, you kind of hit it already. I mean, gliding, to develop feathers that are good for gliding, I mean, you don't have to have flight right away. You can just have a bird-like animal that's good at gliding at first, and bats have developed flight as well. And then from that, just better and better glides, you can just progressively develop organisms that can glide a little further, and they're going to do that by producing some amount of downward lift. And then it just eventually gets to a point where they can actually do like powered sustained flight or whatever. But we know that, like, we know theropod dinosaurs had feathers, and they had asymmetrical feathers just like flight. Now, that doesn't mean that they were, like, the feathers weren't originally adapted for flying. I mean, there are many, many cases where we can see that a trait or, like, an organ is, it has been modified to do something new that it didn't do in its ancestor. There's some really cool research on birds and how and how, like, the flight mechanism sort of may have evolved in raptors. So what they find is, what birds will do is, if they try to run up something that's really steep, they flap their wings really quickly. And, like, chicks that can't actually fly yet do that. But it does help them get up, because I don't know if it's just, like, the momentum of it helps, or the actual amount of thrust they're able to produce. Although they can't fly, it does basically make it easier for them. And, like, skeletal analysis has shown that raptors, the type of range of flexibility they had with their arms, like the way it would have moved, is exactly the same mechanism that you see birds do when they fly. It's kind of like a butterfly stroke, almost, in a way. So that just kind of gets you to, like, they have the feathers in the first place. And then we have sort of like the biomechanism, or whatever we want to call it, it's not the same thing as flight, but flight hasn't wildly changed from that. It's just that the animals are now lighter, and they have much stronger breast bones, or breast, like, pecs or whatever. And then, the gliding turns into, like, sustained flight. Anyways, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. But, you know, like, the raptor, you say it has the same mechanism. So did that just happen by chance, that it just had this mechanism, or does the evolutionary process have a goal in mind? Because
there's no goal.
That's what I mean. It just seems so improbable.
Well, I mean, so how do I say this? So you can argue that, wait, you're telling me that the raptors just happen to have the same kind of arm dynamic that works for flight? That means it has to have been premeditated or something like that.
Well, I mean,
no.
A lot of it would have to be premeditated, because it's so...
It does look that way. But flight has evolved five separate times, and each type of flight is completely different, right? Like, bats accomplish it by having enormous webbed fingers, basically. Insects do it in a completely different way. The pterosaurs did it by having an absurdly long pinky finger and then webbing that stretched to their ankles. The birds did it with flight feathers and by fusing their fingertips together to have a really rigid and strong, arm. So there's, like, if, to me, the fact that it evolves independently in different ways shows that you can just stumble upon a way of living that is advantageous, right? And it comes from pre-existing traits that just happen to work well for this future thing. Like I said, there are lots of other examples. I'm probably not going to be able to remember one off the top of my head, where an organ is very clearly derived from something like in its past that didn't have that function, but it happens to work for this other function. And the other thing we have to keep in mind is that no animal is perfect at doing anything. It just works pretty good for all that. You can always imagine a way in which it could work better. So evolution is just working with, you know, the cards that it's dealt and doing a pretty good job.
Okay. Yeah, I was just kind of wondering what your answer would be. I mean, I've always, you know, wondered that. I've thought a lot about, like, what would an insect do with a 16th or a 32nd of a wing? How could that help them? You know, in what way? Or, you know, it seems so wildly improbable that it would evolve flight eventually from that. I mean, it.
Yeah, the insect one is weird because we don't have transitional insect fossils for like flight or anything like that that I'm aware of. But the insects developed that so long ago. I mean, there were, I think we probably had flying insects before any other animals were even living on land. So that's an extremely long time ago. That's like pushing 360 million years ago or something like that.
Okay, yeah, I was just kind of curious what your answers would be. I don't have a certain point or anything I was getting to or anything. I was just, you know, just curious of what you thought. I do enjoy your Flat Earth Lives. Those are pretty good.
Yeah, they're pretty interesting.
Well, thanks for talking to me.